So Saturday, September 1st, 2007, Gene Schaefer speaking to Roy Parkinson. Roy was employed on the Montour Railroad for quite a long time, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Montour Railroad.
Okay. Microphone, phone, volume, battery, phone. Okay.
Well, Roy, do you remember?
I come out of the Army, and I think it was June of 59. And wasn't even another week and had to go down, but a month old was hiring. So Stice was superintendent. That's when they still had the offices up on Fifth Avenue. You know, they had the two brown booms. One was a dispatcher on the second floor in the office of downstairs. And the one closest support office was the application building. And
did you get the application from?
I'm sure it's the clerk, Dugan.
Bill Dugan?
Bill Dugan, yeah. He was chief clerk then. And they said we hired, so.
Time, or did you go by yourself?
I went by myself, yeah. And, well, then they hired me, you know, started out, I think up first was the yard job, but they had a 4 o'clock yard job then, and the engineer was Ray McPherson.
How long after you filled out your absence? Was it a couple of days?
It was early on my own. You know, you went to work with a crew. The crew was already there. You went down, you was actually, you know, so you learned a little bit. Then when they thought you had enough experience, they put you on your own, you know. Then you messed up that.
All did the yard job do that you started out on?
You weighed coal, you brought the engines in from Groveton. Build up the fuel tracks after the coal was weighed, the main coal, you know. Because it filled the old scale and on the new scale.
So crews coming in from Champion would pull in on the old scale?
Yeah, and then they cut the crew across over back up on down the new scale.
So they filled up both the old scale and the new scale?
Certain times, yeah, certain days, depends on how it's coal. Each one had, and then you brought the empties around, and filled the tracks up, and just up the one scale track, you know. And
worked the shop,
and then you did the shop, and a little yard if there was anything down there, had to be switched on that weight coal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything had to be weighed in. 14, nearly got reading took over, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
same when you weighed the coal at Montour Junction, was the same process as Mifflin. You led the cars off and one by one. Who was the weighmaster?
Gene.
Gillen.
Yeah. He was. And when Montour went down so far, then you just had him go on there, you know.
Down in the lower yard.
Yeah, you kept pushing because, you know, it was like a belly, and it was its way back. Times you split the switch. But, you know, to Bruce going down on the scale track, then you threw the switch underneath it. And you put the back end of the Bruce two wheels on the dead track. But the engine was not on the scale.
On live rails.
Yeah, he had to be on the dead rails, you know. So, and one day me and Sherwood was waiting for it. You never saw that before. I said, oh yeah, a lot of little railroads, a lot of little tricks, you know. He said, but you never saw anybody split the switch. I put the caboose on the side like this, going down and push.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes it
Never derail a caboose doing that?
Nope.
Shoved it off sideways, jackknifed
it? Nope. And that was them old wooden ones, too, before we got the other ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, never did. Well, because he's there, and he just, the engineer just pushed easy. Everything, it's just the same, like when you cross an open mate, like going to champion. You know, everything's pushing this way, then all of a sudden everything again pushes the other way. But this day, so.
That was before the handheld radios?
Yeah.
So how did you use the switching signals then? Tell us a little bit about that.
Spin down this ahead.
Okay, but at night after dark, when you did you use the red, the yellow, and the green signals?
You didn't have red, yellow, and green down there.
Yeah, they were down here.
And it's a camping, red and green.
Okay.
The only switch at yard was the block switch. And like I say, you went out on it was green, you went out on it on red, unless it was flashing red, I mean somebody was on the block coming in, so then the yard dog threw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be red until they got into the yard.
So there was just red and green on that signal?
Yeah. It was one signal, but right, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, one end of the yard was, that was the end of the yard, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the yard used it because, you know, you went up around the bend and you switched empty from ghosts and all that. And, so, you know, you kept switching, kept throwing it back and forth until somebody come in from the block. Which is up at the, what was that for sure?
By the water treatment plant up there?
The first one. Before, oh hell. Scrapyard is up there, that was in 5, that was actually.
Up at Snyder's?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was actually, because the only thing there was the chemical plant right at the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Put that in, but the block was on the other side of that.
You mean the circuit?
Yeah, that's where it started for the inbound guy. So if you was switching for it, you had time to get in and get off.
Mm-hmm.
So he could get in.
Hmm.
So, it was the last switch one night.
Mm-hmm.
On the left. So you weighed the coal and did your empty. And then, a lot of times they hold you over, but you never made overtime unless it was a camping job would come in with one load of coal. Had to be out, so you'd do it in 8 hours ago, you'd wait, and then it was done too.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, it was just an 8-hour job.
You never went out on the road working a yard job?
No, that job just stayed there. Then Pinelli said, no, you don't need it. And he did away with the scale and the yard job. So then the road job started coming in to dry. Because it's way all the coal. Because when you pull in, you pull the coal down the road you already. And that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Screw took care of everything. He took all the work away. Do you remember that?
Well, I don't know. Fond memories of days gone by?
Well, you just come out and, you had orders to pick up a car or two, so you wouldn't remember how many days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At least I wouldn't. And like Imperial used to have, he had the American gas there, propane gas.
Right.
Then there was Cunningham's. And, when J&K was in, K&K, that's
K&K?
Yeah, Imperial K&K, it was a big lumber company up in there.
They used to get a lot of rail service?
Yeah, and it was a deal off in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a feed mill in there.
A feed mill?
Yeah.
What did they get, do you remember?
Evening they got, I was going to get a box car full of egg cartons.
Egg cartons. When the feed came in, what kind of cars was it in?
Yeah, we, you know, just ran them in there, and then depends, either you ran around them, shove it on in, or just come out, you know, just sometimes, and sometimes it depends.
Where it goes, or?
Once in a while, McDonald.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very seldom McDonald, mostly here. Mm-hmm. And then, it champion.
What about North Star? Why?
Yeah. Did a couple of times.
Turn engines?
Yeah.
Meets?
Mostly make meets. You pull down and back in. And that's the guy who won the main, you know. The eastbound, he was superior to the westbound. And, it held that. That went back in there, I think, four car engines were in the engine.
Beyond the tail of the switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in on the camping top. The background, because it was swing switch. Somebody used to, I think Danny Hedderman, he was on the crew. And Eddie was a weed eater, or we had something in with. So we had four or five cars to the back, and that's how we had just some light engines and that. Well, you could, you could go in at the east end or the west end. Plus, if you had time, you went in the west end. You know. And we'll get four engines to produce some sun and goodbye. You had champion. You know, you either had to run or decide. Pick the empties up and get your loads. And you went.
You used to take coal in?
Yeah, empties of mine and shovels and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, oh yeah, and we're down there. You have loads from the goal and empties for the mine. You know. Then you went up a few, so you switched the empties and those two can load, not being heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get it off.
A lot of coal?
Yeah, I'm trying to get coal, yeah. I've lived with coal up in there.
Uh-huh.
And mostly it's just a golf course. Empties back and, you know,
oh, okay.
They set them off when they come out of the roof.
What's the biggest train you've had leaving Champion?
There's not much another Jag one you saw on the Pension. But then when you took everyone onto the mine, and you hit Gilmore Junction, you turn. You threw the switch, went to the right, and around the mountain, and headed in the west.
The coal that you guys brought back to Champion from McDonald a couple of times. I have one of your worksheets at home that Paul Utnar filled out that you went over there, I think, with four engines. And
that was that special coal that time. I forgot all about that.
Where did that come from? Do you remember?
I think it was Western coal.
Western coal?
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
I don't remember. I remember the work report that the train dispatchers had to fill out. You were the conductor.
Yeah.
Make two trips from McDonald back to Champion with 100 cars of coal.
And put it in the load of yours. I mean the empty yours.
Is that where you set it off at?
Yeah. And then they processed it or something. I don't know.
You didn't take it back to McDonald then? I don't know what
I can't. They strained, but they made it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they kept four of them, because one took the other three, you'd still be cool a little bit, you know. So.
Or did they have the conveyor up over the
high? Had the conveyor in. But the slate track and all that was still in.
Was it?
Yeah.
Off the shove up?
Yeah. Not off the shove up. Over in Bob's.
Well, the slate was loaded off the shove up there. They had a
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The switch off to, off that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he went down in the lead past one, and then made a real sharp turn to the left and crossed two. Then went in there, went straight. But if you went in there and you turned left again, there was a small mine there. The Tipple, they had a few cars to pull.
They were still loading when you started?
No. No. They were, but I didn't get to go in there.
Okay.
I wasn't on the cruise. Charlie Ross was one of the ones who was on the cruise. My champion job then, I think. Down the lower end of the bogs, there was another one took off, went way out there.
That was also a...
I know, no, at first it was regular mine track, I guess. But then B&T used to store their extra cars on. He shoved them back in there, you know, and then whenever they needed them down there, they'd order them. Maybe more. That thing went back to down on the other side of Peru. On 30. 22 and 30, on 30. I was just down there a couple of years ago. Can't think of anymore. Clinton.
That's what I was going to say, Clinton.
Yeah. The one back in there. I would like to see that straight cut. You know, it was a nice long tangent there.
Yeah.
Well, back in them days, I didn't visit neither. Because mine's all done after World War II. You know. So,
hmm. Spur gone then?
That was gone.
Was the rail in or was that?
No, everything.
McAdams, was there anything in McAdams besides the siding?
And then the chemical plant built. Well, it was already built when I started. That is Chewy. How long is this thing running for? 30 minutes?
I think it has 30 on each side.
Yeah.
You got a long way to go.
Yeah, I know there's a... I got one in there, but it's right in the radio.
So did McAdams... What kind of cars did they come in by rail?
Cars.
Tank cars? Do you remember what...
Cars and golf cars as well.
Mm-hmm.
They got dredgings from the... No, that when they made the casting, you know, on the steel, and they reprocessed the dredges, or whatever you want to call it, the dross. And they, the ground tank would like hammers on it. When it rotates, they'd swing up, and drop down and hit the tank, and then it vibrates. You know. And that's made a lot of time, but that was box cars.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, whenever they're done with the, when they make the steel, you know, all the...
The slag and stuff?
Yeah, all that.
Mm-hmm.
They use that and separate that out. So...
They go...
Kind of come in on those.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that come in box cars, though.
Well, my dad come in from the P&LE.
Yeah, mostly P&LE. Now they set off the junction. I was on PWB too now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Depends on, I guess, who shifted or where.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like we talked before, if you did in Westland, number one track was the long track, number two track was the short track, about half. And there was that little spur off of it, and I was two cars. They'd get stuck in the ball cars and that. Put it down there and you'd be surprised.
The spur off number two track, was that a grade level or did that drop down?
That dropped down. It was about 4 foot drop or so. You know, to this side. Sometimes, yeah, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Were you allowed down there with the engines or did you?
About 2022 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Westland picked up production. That's when they made it wrong because they took getting stuff in by both cars anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
Bobby Lane was the last one I remember ever used to, as a conductor, so.
Hmm.
In the 70s, probably.
Hmm. What about the flat car with the grader that broke loose from McAdams? Who delivered that?
Lane and Dave Sherwood was the crew. And Dave says that capacity absorbs in Lane loose.
When did they first see you? When you were at the viaduct, or when they come off the viaduct?
I guess it was off the viaduct and coming around the bend. Start going up the hill. And it come down and it was on. If it had been on its turn tip going up the hill, it would have been okay, because they just coupled onto it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, by. And, to derail out and everything.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because it was at the upper end of McAdams. Derail's way down the lower end. I don't know how the brake got loose or whoever it was. I never got loose from, I don't think got loose from the crew. Got loose from the contractor who was unloading it.
Right.
I guess maybe they knocked the brake off.
Yeah, they had a cable or something on it.
So they put two new ties in and put the derail back in.
That's all they did to it.
Yeah, you know, so you could see two brand new ties with the derail.
That was the extent of the...
Yeah, but then the biggest mistake Freddie made, he, you know, he said they'll fix the engine. Hell, they fixed it whenever they felt like it. They work on it a little bit today, maybe, and it was in touch for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, oh. Yeah. And well, next big thing was Muse.
Okay.
Yeah. Used to be, they had a short turnout on Muse, you know, there wasn't a great big long one, it was at the end. And they told me last day at work, they lit 97 quarters of coal. And it was so steaming that they pulled out and they decided they were going to get a long turnout, you know, so it would be easy. And one of the company officials was on one of the engines in the tunnel, and Jake Shute, his fireman, he was holding on to his coat to hold him. But he was trying to get up and get off the engine.
Why'd he want off?
Well, because you're in the tunnel, you get all that smoke in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they just jug along, you know, just enough to keep the train going, make it worthwhile, you know.
So they're trying to...
Yeah, because they wanted a long turnout. Because it was coming down and made a short turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, they had two engines on there anyway. Up there in the tunnel, I guess, and maybe he was working and everything. So he was holding on to his that his coat so he wouldn't jump off the engine.
Wow.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he ain't used to being in the tunnels and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Where was, you don't remember?
Played both ways. Depends, because he sent a helper out and he stayed there at least.
Mm-hmm.
And,
helper come out of Mifflin, right?
Sometimes, and other times come out of the Chunks.
Oh, okay.
See, this a lot of that was before I was even hired out.
Mm-hmm.
That's so stimulating. You know. Well, after that, they put the long term. So then the mine closed. Then it stayed open. I mean, the track stayed there for a long time. They finally just have to get, you know, bought and all that. And that's too long. And then they shut down the diesel plant up there. So,
what do you remember about the mine tracks up in Muse?
You went in straight, one went straight and then one went to left and another went left. That's all I remember. Mm-hmm. The mine was gone. You know, all the mines closed after World War II.
Well, let's talk about the viaduct.
Okay, the viaduct. You know, a viaduct gets over land and water. That's how it's a viaduct. If it's just water, it's a bridge, which a viaduct can also be a trestle.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just a deep gorge, it's called a trestle.
Do you remember when they had lights on it?
No. But I know it was originally set up to be a double track viaduct.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it like that from what the plans was for. The Montreal used single track, so it never made it. 782 or something.
963, I believe. Isn't that? Through the night, they drilled five cars out on her. Do you remember that?
No, I don't know, but I do know Tony Volovich. Well, he can go and get, I think he's afraid to fall off, he wouldn't go, you know.
Wouldn't go across it?
Yeah, working on the car, he's going to try and get the wheels.
Oh, he wouldn't go out on the bridge?
Yeah. No, he's kind of scared of it. Well, more like Jim Lane was always afraid to hike like that, too.
I think he was on with Desco, you know. I think I saw that on tape recording at home when they
would call him in the group. I don't know who got derailed. But
10 cars derailed. See them all.
Oh, yeah, because the guys just went down on the road, or if they went off the damn bi-dog, man.
That was inside the through crust for most of them.
Yeah. Well, just you hit them lucky and not kind of doing it. Well, like Adams down on curve, and that white curve, go straight up through there.
Russell, which way are you talking?
I'm talking where the two houses are on 980. They built, you know, from
down on Malpo 16.
Yeah.
Were you derailed them at one time?
Yeah. In there, we come along, and Davis was the
Pinoy guy.
Yeah. And
you were running?
I was running, yeah, because coming west.
You had Pinoy engines?
No, had Moto engines.
Okay.
They always let me run west, west time, so. Come along there, and I throw along, you know, real nice, about number 4 or 5 on the throttle. And all of a sudden, just down and Jeff throttled off and said, "We're down." Dave says, "How do you know we're down?" I said, "Just the way the train stopped."
Stopped on his own.
Yeah, you know, because, yeah, the damn cars, well, when they keep plowing in, you know, they keep going deeper and deeper.
Burying themselves.
Yeah. So,
the train never went in emergency?
Well, no, because it didn't break apart.
Well, sometimes the air hoses will part.
Oh, yeah. Well, once the air hoses part, but after that, you already stopped, you know. So, it just starts on that, and then shuts all off, and it stopped, you know. And that's how I told him to die. He said, "How do you know?" I just tell by the way it stopped.
You couldn't feel it, any
jerk? No, there was no jerk in that. It was a rest port. Usually you get jerking, you know, when they kind of go sideways after that, so it starts snapping the hoses and all that. And it's a nice, smooth stuff.
What about the time John Lee jackknifed the engines over at McDonald down on Industrial League?
It was when Barney was flagman or something. He was riding the coal out.
They were shoving at the Midway?
Yeah.
Up this way?
Yeah, they were shoving at the Midway. There was already coal out there. And I don't know what happened, but yeah, he smashed one car, one 70-ton hopper, which was about a 40-tonner when it was done.
Oh, really? He buckled it?
Yeah, because, you know, he hit all the other ones that was there, and I don't know why he didn't work or something, but...
He hit, what, he jacked?
A while until he got it on.
How far up towards Midway did you deliver coal when you had to shove coal up this way?
Every single block was down here.
The signal bridge that went across?
Yeah.
Okay.
You stopped short of it. No, you was by it. You went by the bridge, whatever, 10 or 12 cars or so, then started making another curve this way. But then there was a road crossing there, so you always stopped short of that.
About how many cars could you?
Oh, you know. So.
How many times did you shove out?
Well, we used to do it every night. Whenever the Pepsi told us we could do it, you know. Because you used to just fill McDonald up. You wasn't allowed to pass switch, you know, their main track switch down at Fremont's. And then we kept getting some more coal, so that's when they said we'd be.
So originally him.
It's all decided on them later, transfer. And he was commissioned
to use the industrial leave.
Yeah. That was track number four, but an industrial leave.
Mm-hmm.
To them, to the kids by Ham, Rex, and himself.
He ran around at McDonald's Siding, right?
Yeah. Top of the hill, McDonald's Siding. W. Cole all the way.
He used the backup hose out of the box there.
Yeah.
Top of the hill.
Yeah.
Used the backup hose in when you had radios?
Yep. Oh, then when we got the new radios, the better ones did away the backup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always put three PZs on and go across the crossing going down. You know, all the fences there, they had lights and gates, so you didn't have to, you know.
You detoured over the PRR.
I remember.
Once on the PRR pilots climb on it.
In Keys Rocks. ACY, whatever it was.
PCY.
PCY. Down there. Then you went in to Scully Yard. And then up through Carnegie.
Went to Wagner, past Wagner Tire?
I guess, yeah. And then up through Carnegie, and then down on up to McDonald, you hit the crossover. So. Don't remember exactly.
Several times at least, or?
Me personally, no. Two or three times probably. It just depends who, whenever Zebra was, or Rex was, yeah. You know, who got called.
You told me about a trip one time you took coal over the PNWV?
Yeah, we ended up...
How many engines? Four?
Yeah, we had three, but then we stopped and got another one.
Where did you pick the fourth one up at? Champion, or...?
It was out on the road somewhere. Took it off when the crew was going the other way.
We'll meet somebody. So how many cars of coal did you have? Do you remember?
No, not exactly.
You're saying when you're coming up that final part of the PNWV to Longview or that?
Yeah. The engineer said, boy, we're glad we had that four engines that we hardly made. Of course, you know, their engineer was in the running too. And I guess he wasn't kind of used to them. But them old diesels were straining a bit.
When you left Southview on the PNWV going down towards Gladden and Bridgeville, how fast do you think you were going?
I know, he moved out pretty damn fast, I know that.
Going down that hill pretty quick.
Yeah. Of course, they had good track, they kept her, you know. And their crews always did move down there pretty good.
Where were you riding, the head end or the caboose?
I think I was on the caboose end. Yeah, I was on the caboose.
Were they using air going down the hill?
I think probably, well, yeah, you'd have to use something. But, I mean, you know, you can have brakes on doing 30 mile an hour and still be doing 30 mile an hour.
Right. Just,
it's not break the hole, you know.
Are you putting them on, taking them off, or just feed valve them down the hill, or?
I think you just feed valve them.
PNWV guys knew how to feed valve with that old brake equipment?
Well, I imagine. Well, all you did was hang your valve back up. The new ones, if you had a 26L, yeah, it had if that was built in.
Mm-hmm.
Brake system, so.
Maintaining feature.
Yeah. It kept your brake on. It allowed so much leakage in that too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise you'd be off. But you had to use your valve just a little bit, you know, until you hit it perfect, you know. Enough to hold it and keep the leakage up.
Mm-hmm.
So
you went through Rook Yard and through the long tunnel and down that grade and started to climb up the Longview.
Yeah.
Did you ride up in the cupola or did you stand on the back porch? Or
no, I was up in the top of the cupola or whatever you want to call it.
You don't remember how many loads you might have had?
No, I don't.
40, 50?
I don't know, but I know we were down about 3 mile an hour or so going up.
Coming up to the Longview?
Yeah.
And you took the train into Mifflin and waited?
Yeah. Well, their engineer got off, but Slider.
Where at Slider did he
hit the switch? Where the Monterey was like, let's see, we had track rights from there on in the Mifflin.
So how did he get back to his company vehicle? Did he walk back down to Longview or?
I think he got off actually down at the other end of Longview.
Down by the station down there where he left the main track.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because, you know, all we had to do was go up there and then we'd go where we should be anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. You had an engineer and a conductor pilot?
Yeah.
And you take the train into Mifflin and
waited.
You pulled in on what track, the Montour side?
Montour side tracks, yeah. So the short one up and took the long one on and then the back 14. Brought around it, bled them out, weighed them, and come back. That put engines on the sides of the derailment thing, you know. Because he had the baggies on that side that he's getting them before the war. Yeah, they take the loads and put them up constantly.
Right.
So we were there. You know. I didn't think he had to go to the library job. Yeah.
Number 10 was working, took care of number 4 first. And
yeah. Number 4 was the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
One who always had a bus, yeah.
So when you gathered up empties in Mifflin, we talked about this before. How often did they, because there was something on the website about Bessemer Lake Erie empties were only supposed to go back to Champion for loading.
Yes.
But a lot of crews, they stopped at number 4 and filled number 4 up with them first.
Well, yeah, I might take them loaded.
Take them loaded.
Well, yeah, it's empty. So you put them in number 4, and number 4 loaded them. And then you ran to Champion, and they're coming back to Champion.
Loaded again, going back to
Union, yeah. Unless it was shop cars, then they went on down to Junction.
Uh-huh.
But, oh yeah, all of them went in number 4 empty.
Uh-huh.
And brought loaded. I mean, you have the empties, you know, you might as well use them.
Right. And I have a kind of a 126, it's not a real good photo, but it's taken at Library Junction one time of, in the siding there, there's loads that just came from number 10, and the engines were going through the crossovers. They were going back on the loads and go out to West Lake of the Y. It was right at dusk, and I think Dave Shirley was on the crew. But how often did the Bessemer empties go down to number 10? Not too often? Or?
Not too often, no. Very seldom. Well, most of that come out of Junction, PLE. So.
Well, I remember a couple of times riding. One morning, I think it was like 1972. Three of us, I think it was Jonesy or somebody, three engines, and he probably had 50 or 60 empties, all Montour hoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And we rode the caboose from Salida to Library Junction and back through the Y, because another guy had a little instrumented camera, and he took a couple photos. He took photos of them coming through Salida with all kinds of boxcars and tank cars. And he took a photo out of Popolo going up, leaving Slider up that real long tangent across the crossing. All you could see is hoppers. And he took another photo when we were back into the Wyatt Library Junction. You could see the corner of the caboose, then way over there around the curve, you could see the empties after we pulled by the west end of the Y and shoved in. And then he shoved the empties down to number 10.
Yeah. Yeah, but the engine was always on the east end, going down number 10. So when you come right, you pull right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Green Tree Lumber there, yeah, always had cars.
Green Hills,
yeah.
Box cars and lumber?
Yeah.
Where did they come from? Come out of Mifflin or Hills or Snowden?
Everywhere. Some from Junction, some from Mifflin, some from Snowden.
Mm-hmm. How big of a spur was there at Green Hills?
I think it held 5 cores. And a lot of times up on, if they had too many up on Library Junction, you used that one. When the spur on the right side went down for the surplus cores, you know.
At Library Junction?
Yeah.
Was there just one track there on the right side? Or was there a couple of tracks?
There was, what, 3 tracks there, if I remember it. And there was the runaround right at the, where you went in the east leg or the west leg. But when you come up with the pole, shove the first batch up, and when it's back down, grab the second batch and coupled in, then you took the haul and backed everything out the west leg of the wire.
East leg or west leg?
West leg. East leg.
East leg.
East leg, yeah. You backed out the east leg. Then you come down the main, you know.
What was the new siding at Library Junction?
New siding.
I heard that referred to a lot on the radio in my early days.
I think that was probably from where the east leg of the wire and the west leg of the wire met. There had a spur in there and a siding there.
So it was like a new addition to...
I think, yeah, I ain't sure though. I wouldn't swear to it, but I don't remember.
I used to hear that a lot, the new siding at Library Junction.
Huh?
What about going to Snowden? You've been to Snowden many times?
Well, that was all the way down the hill. Yeah, I've been down there. We hit this guy, he's drunk. He come down there and...
Where'd you hit him at? What crossing? Right there at Piney Ford?
Yeah. And when the cops come, he says, hey man, they ran into me.
You guys ran into him?
Yeah. Whitey held on this way, he said this way. So he kind of hurt his arm, you know, a little bit. But that didn't derail us or anything. But hell, we had the fuses on the caboose.
What did you do, run into the caboose?
He ran right in. He came down across right in front of us. Boom. We took him broadside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he was on the crossing and...
We was on the crossing when he decided to get it. He wasn't wrong. And if we wouldn't hit him, I don't think he'd made the bend. But we knew it went across the creek here. And then it made a real sharp turn. I think he had probably wrecked right there anyway. Oh well.
So when you got down to Snowden, you shoved in. You always shoved down to Snowden?
Yes. Put the caboose over on the one and filled whatever track they had. And gathered the empties. A lot of times it was on 2 tracks, too, so...
Well, if you went down with loads and they had 2 tracks empties, did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
How did you switch that around?
Well, you just... Because they never filled the tracks full. You know, it set off on, like, number 1, and then next guy set off on number 2. So maybe they'd both be about half full. So you put as much over on one as you could, and gathered your empties up. And if you had any coal left, you'd take it back up here.
You used to do that too, if you had too much coal?
Yeah. Very seldom though, but that's when they had a lot of empties there. Then you took your empties to the mine. And a lot of times, I think DJ was the last one I remember I had to bring coal back.
Did you ever detour over the B&O down here for any reason?
No, I never did, no. But I know I had to get permission from our dispatcher, so to mine they had down there before we got clear down to Snowden.
So BRR track.
Yeah. Yeah, because their mine crossed our railroad. So they had to get permission from us, you know, to have right to cross our tracks open. Facilitate the mine.
To use their track though on the library branch, did you ever have to, you guys ever have to ask for permission from the train dispatcher to use it, or you just?
No, when we went down, we had an empty spur, there was two on the side, and you could just couple right in and go, you know. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to ask permission or anything, because, yeah, that, well, you know, they had the covered light signal block this.
On their track?
Yeah.
On the B&O or on the PRR?
On the B&O.
Okay.
Because the PRR only had that single track crossroads for that mine.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You never needed, because that was actually the PRR track that the Montour used, but the timetable said that the PRR had obtained permission from the Montour.
Yeah, they had obtained, the dispatcher had given permission to use it.
The Montour dispatcher.
Yeah. Every time they wanted to go to the mine, they had a call or a dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
And, so?
When you were on the library branch, did you have to have train orders, or how did that work?
You had to train order. Actually, like Mifflin, you got a train order from Mifflin, which was illegal after you passed Library Junction. Because it's a junction, see? But on the Montour, it didn't matter. You know, so he just ran the number 4 mine and ran mine back in.
Uh-huh.
So you ran on downhill and did fill the load of yard, I mean the empty yard, got two loads, got the train, go, you know. Then they give you another order from there, but actually, you shouldn't have gotten an order past the library junction. But since he was the only one up there, you waited in the Montour. No, they just, how do you go with that?
So you never had train orders on library branch?
Nope.
You just asked for, they gave you permission.
So you had your train order from, say, Champion to Library Junction.
East-west switch to Library Junction.
And run by him, you're right, yeah. That's all you had, and then you know, on your own.
So. But didn't you have to ask for permission to go down to the library branch? And no?
No, because you had it.
Who decided how many trips you would make out of the mine?
Well, one trip a day out of mine, then. Number 10 mine. I mean, one trip every time you went down.
Okay, because a lot of times after Shoemaker came, he cut down on the tonnage out of number 10.
Yeah.
So you're only allowed to take, what, 11 loads per trip?
I don't know what. I know you used to take more. You could haul more, but then I guess your bed and everything was getting bad because they wasn't doing much repair for it. You know. So that's probably why he reduced it.
Yeah, he put the restricting blocks on the couplers and...
Yeah.
No more 4 units on the library branch. You were only allowed down to 3 units, and you weren't allowed 11 cars per trip.
Well, I didn't know that. Of course, most of it, well, it just depends, like I say, which crew and where he was going and what you call for, so. I guess that takes care of library branch. That's still Jewel at the top of the hill.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
Used to take coal up there and set it off.
Oh, yeah. One crew, it was nighttime, it was 6 o'clock crew went to Mifflin.
Every day of the week or
just yeah,
certain days?
Yeah, no, every day of the week. And he had tonnage usually. That's why there was a lot of extra tonnage.
When you say tonnage, how much... What are we talking, 50 cars maybe, or?
Well, I don't know, it just depends, you know. But the Bessemer cars, most of them, they was 70 and 100-ton hoppers.
Mm-hmm.
70s, and you used to fill Jewel up. And then when the 6 car guy got there and put him over the top of the hill, then he'd take that. There was a lot of times you'd come out of Jewel siding with 40, 50 cars and double up your train.
So you'd be fuel with like 60 loads.
Yeah, or maybe more. That's what he brought his own south, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then like I say, when you got into Mifflin, you went in the short track, filled it, and you come back and right down to the scale and he just headed over on the runaround and then come back 14.
The 14 was the track closest to the Montour?
Yeah. That was the runaround track. And seven was the other one. In the middle of the area.
Mm-hmm.
But 14 was our runaround.
I remember one of the crews that I rode in the Mifflin. I'm not sure if Tim and I did this together one night, but I think it was Lockerbie. And they had four units, and they came, to, you know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they came pounding in the slider, just noisy as could be. And, you know, those customers with those double brakes, ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting-ting. And I think it was Dave Lockerbie. He'd come down off the second or third unit and said, if you're going to ride in, get on these engines, because when you have Horning Road crossing block, they're like 85 or 89 loads of coal.
Yeah.
You imagine, did he drag 60 loads up that hill to Jewel just for 4 units, or did they have to have a helper? Or?
No, there was no helpers. Daylight crew took maybe 20, 25, or 30. But Jewel went clear over and around the bend, you know, until they finally shut it off right where the underpass was.
Right, you could get 21 customer cars in Jewel.
Yeah, then. But before that, Jewel went clear around the bend, how would you get 50?
So they used to use Jewel prior to store coal for Mifflin?
Yeah. Daylight crew would haul up and set it off. And then 6 o'clock job was the one that went into Mifflin. And he went in loaded. 4 units, you know, but they added over the hill, so made it. So
he could come up the hill with only like 20 or 30 loads, maybe, and fill out a Jewel. They use Library Junction once in a while to put East by the 4 and 2, right?
Yeah, but I never did, no. But, yeah, there for a while, I think they did too. But see, then you're still going uphill. But
right.
Up the mountain. You know.
And you're halfway up the hill anyhow at Library.
Yeah. But see, I got running off the long pool, and that kept Thompsonville open. For mine, you know. And some of the companies there used to get cars too, you know, to spread it off for them. I don't know how many cars you were.
Number 4 was pretty busy then.
Yeah. They only had 3 tracks in Hilliard, and then they built number 4 track.
Yeah.
They made their own.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't do anything to the Hilliard because, you know,
road bridge up at the other end.
Yeah. Which I understand is all gone now.
All gone.
Yeah, and they ripped all the square curves out and just and gradual. So.
Mm-hmm. Those transfer and boys.
Yeah.
Used to go out there a lot, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Used to be just the transfer. We had both tracks. Then Nancy got so they, let us come out on boys, so you go down there and load the boys up. And you get down there, they're a bit tossing at the other end, you know. And,
a lot of empty offers came in through boys.
Yeah. Wow. Then, you know, he got so they had to have everything come through them. You know, so you, and that shut boys down pretty much. But you had to watch three, you know, a fancy used to come up in there with 6-wheel diesels. Then he'd go on the ground and lock.
Oh, really? They did? I didn't know they come up there with 6 axles.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, but then they found
we're coming up as a transfer.
Yeah, on hill transfer. It stretched them out too much and a derail on them short curves.
Oh, the only thing I've ever seen was 4 axles.
Yeah, but a couple times they was there with 6 axles.
Huh.
So they put the block on them. Yeah.
Do you remember if they were EMDs or Alcos?
I think they were EMDs. You know, they come down there, and it's just too much.
Did you ever detour over, come in or go out that way?
No.
Over the PR down through hills?
No.
And they used to send the diesels to Conway that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they went down there for a wheel work?
Uh-huh. So,
but you never detoured over?
I never did, personally, not that I remember anyway. So.
What about running the engines? Making transition and going up and down hills?
Well, you're making transition, you made you have to drop down to 6.
You had to go out to number 8 and come back down to number 6, right?
Well, you was in number 8, then you went transition. You dropped down to number 6, then he's back up to 8. Herbie Worth used to do 6 and boom right back to 8. And that puts a hell of a strain on him. They make it. And up and down the hills will use your air. You know that, I let you run that time coming out of Westland.
Mm-hmm.
Top of the hill. Oh yeah, talking about Westland. We, one winter day, me and Davis was on. We had a Long Beach in the train line somewhere. Because as soon as I lapped the valve, man, I lost 20 pound air, boom, just like that. Yeah.
So with the Montour engines?
Yeah, with Montour engines, there was a blockage in the car somewhere. So, then it's in the work. So we went up the hill anyway. Got top of the hill, and you get up the top. I lapped as hell. I lost the 20 pound. They made an application, you know, a 5 pound application, and set the speed belt. And Davis looked over and said, "Are they holding?" I said, "Yeah, it seems to be holding." They held. We made it down.
He was a little concerned, huh?
No. he wanted to know if he was holding or not. Because you want, if they ain't going to hold, you want to jump off before it gets too fast.
Yeah.
You know, because that way, when they go every which way, you ain't there.
Who flattened the wheels on the units at one time? Come out, Pinelli guy?
I think it was one of them, yeah. And then Guthrie, he put them on the ground right down at the mine there. That's 50.
What, the diesels?
Hey, train wreck down there. I don't know if it was the diesels or what. No. Coal and all that from West. Well, when I hired out, you drove under the part of that tipple there, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and then they finally took that off, that one section. Plus the firehouse was over on this side, and the rails and the tipple. And the empty arm was back there. But they had the big herringbone years in there, all of them. Mine cars up to the tipple, you know. They could dump them in the river.
So Westland, or Morris Mine was working when you were there?
No, it wasn't working, but the gears and all that, it was in there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even benched off, and it finally rocked it off.
Uh-huh.
So.
Have you seen, while you were riding cabooses or locomotives, many times when you actually witness cars derail?
No, not too many.
You just felt them, or?
Yeah, because usually it's in the middle of the train or something.
Mm-hmm. Never seen anything turn on their side then?
No. It's all done with when you get back there and look it over, you know. Pillsbury. Down Glasses Bridge, I'm up to Gilmore Junction. they was on the ground, and he just kept calling them out. He said, "Donald Biddy, it's all right, no, no. I know how many he had."
Were you on with him that day?
No, no. It's Jerry Bimmer went out there and took pictures of it.
That was the one that piled up almost underneath the PNWV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because every time, he just kept widening out. So he just kept putting more and more cars off. But see, they all stayed in line.
And dragging them.
Yeah. That's why it kept so nice, so he kept getting more power.
Wow. I remember that one night that it was a winter's night. I rode right after, it was probably in 76. I just started on the track gang. It was probably the first winter, and I rode into Westland with you. I think DJ or somebody. You were running coming west, and it was terribly cold. Coming out of Gilmore Junction in 78 was throwing a lot of sparks. And I remember starting up through South, you kept calling me on the radio, "Look at those sparks." It was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and it looked like a fireworks display.
Yeah, well, yeah, when it get hot. Oh, that carbon burned off, man. At times, man, they really, and up top the old number 9 there, too. It sparked like crazy certain times.
I was in shock just watching all the carbon coming out of that stack, you know, glowing yellow and orange. Was there something? There must have been something wrong with the 78 for it to do that, because it was, every time you started up a hill, it was...
It sparked, yeah. Well, probably fuel injection wasn't set right. Mm-hmm. It was off a little bit. Well, shut this thing off.
What do you remember about the time you and Jim Lang were you coming out of Westland when you derailed the car off the bridge there at Southview?
Yeah. I look back and the car's hanging down over the thing on the rail crossing. Now, and why it would do that, I don't know. It did.
Just flipped off the bridge. You didn't feel the train derailing at any time?
No. Nope. Well, I was just a train. Jim Lane was the engineer.
He was running the engines when that happened?
Oh, yeah. He was running the engines.
That was, Saturday night or a Sunday morning or something?
I don't know. But the only thing is, good thing that road went in, because they could use the upper underpass. You know, because it didn't make a big move.
Right, it came out up at the other end of Peacock, that road.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we ran the bend a little back. And we weren't going fast because, you know, the blue sky had a flag out of line. To put,
so you were coming out of Westland and...
Yeah, yeah, I lined the switch back, so...
Pulling through Gilmore Junction and starting up through Southview.
Yeah. And he was just going some until he got switch line. Then you got the high ball. When he went under the PW bridge, of course, he was clear up the top of you then.
Mm-hmm.
But she went down. And that was it.
I made for some interesting photographs.
Yeah. So. Did you already?
Well, we can. Something else that did you actually, before they disconnected, decide to use that to make meats during your time?
Nope. During my time, we didn't. No. Plus, with the diesels, made it all different. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you could, and knew them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was steam engine, you couldn't. You know? But
did you ever work Coverdale? Do anything inside Coverdale?
Yeah. Neil Utnar was a training crew, and Swallows was the conductor. And we took a little, came in on a gondola, tractor off the back of that thing.
For Coverdale.
Yeah, and they went back in there. That's when the switch was on the east side of the railroad crossing.
South Park Road.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they shortened it up and put it on the west side.
Right.
But it went back in there, and there was double track back in there. We squatted way at the end of the track. And Well, nothing wrong with it, but I don't know how they ever got out of there, they never threw it out of there. I know.
What about the passenger car and the caboose that was in there for years, in the early 70s?
I don't know what happened to them.
Did you have anything, were you on any of the crews that spotted those or picked them up?
No. Nope, I wasn't on any of them. Well, see, then I still on acting quite a good bit.
When you came out of Mifflin and you had to work Brookside, you used to drop the cars in there, right?
Yeah, no. You just stop on the main, took the car, pulled ahead, and then back the time.
Right, but when you came out of Mifflin, I've watched crew a couple times coming west. If you had to pick up a load or two at Salida for Brookside, you'd have to stop short of the switch and bleed the car off and drop it in?
Yeah. I'm forgetting all of this.
Oh, I understand. What about when Jim Lane at Brightwood with the 78? Remember hearing anything about when he rolled over the hill with that, how that happened?
Yeah. Francie forgot to take the D-rail off. And Miners was on there with him. Dickie Miner was the fireman.
So you were going in to pick the car up, is that what happened?
Yeah, they was dropping the car to take it to Brightwood. They was going to put the engine in there and then run the car down the main and then bring the engine out and, you know, put the car ahead of the engine. But I guess Francie forgot to take the damn D-rail.
So they hit the derail and the engine derailed and it went on its side?
Yeah, because that was like a film when it went down the hill. And didn't do much damage when it did it. I mean, it did most of the damage when it was getting back up out of there. Because the cable on the P and WV train broke. That let us fall back down.
So they used cranes from the P and WV and they had two railroad cranes up there, right?
Yeah, Montours and WV. One on each side.
The Montour, did they bring one in from Mifflin or something? Union?
Well, maybe they did, I don't remember. Maybe they didn't use the Montour on it.
Probably not that, because the one the Montour had was only a 25 ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Need something.
A bit heavier, probably.
Yeah. You weren't on any of those wreck crews or work crews, huh?
Nope, never was.
Did you ever bring a D&O wreck crane out of Snowden?
No, but I've been on a PLE crane before you come up. And Iowa Junction derailed at the disco switch of Champion.
So you had the PLE wreck train on that?
Yeah.
What about Camp's Cut?
Which one's Camp's Cut?
West of Montour number 4, not number 4.
Oh, that was Pennsylvania, yeah. They used fancy books on anything like number 4.
Well, that one night that in 75 that I was out there, you were on the Pinoy wreck train that brought out of Corey Alpus and took over to Camp's Cut, right almost at the loaded yard at number 4. They had that one car on its side.
Mm-hmm.
He brought the tool cars down and he took me through there and had big steak dinner.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they fed you good. That was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry used to do the dishes.
Who's Harry?
One of the section in Montour section. He'd do the dishes, you know. But they always bought steak and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They fed everybody. Fed the train crew, fed their men, fed the section.
Yeah, because you told me, come with you. He said, don't say nothing, just come with me. And I had a nice big steak dinner. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, they worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you cables all, but he still worked hard. A lot of grunt work, like, you know.
Uh-huh. Did you ever use the PRR hook?
Yes.
Okay.
They brought one up, you know, it was an old coal fire job.
Where'd they come out of, Mingo or Conway or Scully?
No, they come up the branch.
I mean, where was their crane based out of?
Well, they had one based in Scully, and I had one based in Conway. They had cranes all over.
So did they bring one out of Scully? Is that what we're talking about, perhaps?
I guess. So he come up the branch.
You know. Was on a transfer?
No.
Oh, Hills.
Hills transfer, yeah. And then brought him out on it. And Don, and it was at the loader yard on that bridge here on the road, you know. And it would run out of power, and they had it set for about 5 minutes to do up and up.
What was derailed?
Coal cars.
Loads out of the mine?
Yeah. And then he got them on. And go like hell whenever you get steam up.
Steam up and...
Yeah.
How many were derailed, do you remember?
No. I know we had him and a couple of times. So... That'd be at least 5 or 6, maybe more.
So the whole PR wreck train would come up the branch and come right out on Montour Main?
Yeah. Come up there and we take the D-Roll off and let him out of the main. And he come down and... get a car loaded and go straight out. Either get it back in the mine or pull it up. Set in on the transfer and back down the main. Get another car.
Rerail it. And
yeah, do that.
Did PRR crews ever come out on the Montour up at the Tibble to put empties in the mine?
Not that I know.
Nothing like that ever?
No.
You can remember.
But all they could fill up to the dealer. Mm-hmm. Of course, I remember that one time he didn't stop sitting up, put 2 cars over the dealer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Empties?
Yeah. Well, you know, because they bring them crews out of Eagle Junction, they never were there before. They shot slow, but I guess when they figured they got their end in, that they just had too many cars.
Out.
Yeah, so they were 50 ton hoppers too. And they just ran, well, you know, D-Row ran them off. They just ran straight.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah. You surprised. And like rerailing cars. Now, frozen ice in the winter. Like I said, first time I ever saw that was when Charlie Goodman was on third champion.
Charlie who?
Charlie Goodman.
Goodman,
yeah. He was on third champion. He was conductor. And we shoving in the disco and his car just went sideways.
Hmm.
So we just stopped and back up. And John said, bring him back, it'll come back up on. And it did. Hmm. And then I did that twice before Blooming one day, he didn't believe me. Joe Blooming, we was on the Muse branch. The DJ was engineer with Shepard. He had this gondola going up there. And it went sideways. And, well, it was about a foot of snow or more. And I said, well, we can get back on it, you know. He kept saying, no, it ain't going on. I said, you got to go to the exact place it went off, Bill. I said, that ice is super cold, it'll hold.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, it ain't. But he just let me go, and we kept back out. And we hit there, and she said, no, right up on. And back and stopped and tied a fuse in, burned it off.
Uh-huh.
And it took a little while to burn it off. You know, but out of the ice, we solid coal. And like I say, one time, one of the magazines I read, this guy on the Milwaukee Road said they was shoving empties in the yard, one of their yards. He had 17 or 18 cars off.
Holy cow.
Yeah, but he said they just backed up and they all come back up.
Unreal.
And you wouldn't think it, you know, because help of will alone is 800 pounds. Mm-hmm. But that ice, I don't know, it just followed that trail. Right back to where it went off. And it climbed right up on it. And then back into it so you can get clear and stop him and melt the ice so that flange was just straight down. And then only on the one side, the side where the flange climbed the rail, the other side didn't worry about it.
Speaking of ice coming through National Tunnel.
Yeah, Pillsbury. We was going east, going to number four. I knew this was on Saturday there. And he was charging up that main to use, you know. And get up there, and all of a sudden he gets up sideways and stands sideways, you know. Because when he rounded the bend in the tunnel, he got all the bicycles hanging down. Oh, I had 23 windows and 4 units broke.
How many windows?
23 and 4 units.
23 windows and
4 units.
Is there that many windows in 4 units? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I guess 8 or 16, 32, I guess there would be.
Yeah, because if you were going backwards, you had 4 windows.
He broke 23 windows.
Yeah, and 2 in the door now, the 2,
in
4, 6.
4 units.
Yeah.
In one trip.
And we got stopped. We started down the other side, and he stopped me. He came back and he says to me, "Do you mind if I run from the second unit?"
He didn't want to get cold.
Yeah, well, he was in the cold on the first unit. I said, "No, Virgil, don't matter." And they never did nothing to do. We had 23 windows broke. And Doug McCartney was the head breaker. I was on the third unit for some reason. And that's fun music because you see the conductor was in the back, you know, in the caboose. But I was on the head end. He had 23 windows broke.
Holy cow.
Well, yeah, but hell, we was going into the tunnel about 15 miles an hour. Now, when them ice was hit, they just break, and they're coming down, and you boom, and hitting, and it was...
How many broke on the unit you were riding?
I don't remember. First two units had the worst. But I remember Dougie, he was sitting there asleep, I guess. He made it dive down in front of the you know, troll box.
Uh-huh.
And, his thermos was up there, you know, and he got broke, but they never paid to fix his thermos.
What about when the diesel kicked the ground relay under load? That was like the bomb went off.
Oh yeah, man. Boom, man, hell of a boom. You feel Gerard and all that. Boy, that was.
I was in one with Jim Lane and Dave Lockerbie. I think one night that I rode with you at number 10, and you outlawed at number 4. And it was a Friday night, and they taxied out to number 4 to relieve you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys had five guy crew that day, so I couldn't ride in the taxi because there was no room. So I had to stay on with a second crew to get back to Montcourt Junction, and I think we just came out of Greer's Tunnel, and I about jumped out of the damn engine. That thing let go. And Lockerbie was saying, "Hit the ground relay." And I wasn't sure then what a ground relay was. And he said, hit the button. And I went, you know, I shrugged my shoulders because he was looking right at me. So Jim Lane's, you know, looking at me, and he's looking at me on the radio, and he came down across and went, psh, and that baby fired right back up again.
Yeah.
Boy, when that thing let go.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, you're under load. It's full contact. And when they bust, it gets a hunk of dirt or something in there. And man, do they make the noise.
Oh. God, it scared me to death.
You think the damn thing blew up. But you hit the ground relay and that resets it, and shit, you fly right back up and go.
Yeah, it just picked right up where it left off.
Yeah.
And kept going up the hill. I think we were either coming up to Greer's Tunnel or we just went through Greer's Tunnel. And boom!
Yeah, but see, Greer's...
Oh, because I grabbed because I was sitting in the engineer's seat, and I grabbed the handset and I said, "This damn engine just blew up." And they both turned around and looked, and I wasn't sure at that time, you know, what had happened, because that was the first time it ever happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah, first time does, man. It, it scares you because you don't know. That's the last thing you expect, mm-hmm. and it's boom. And there's that flash too. You probably didn't see the flash.
Yeah, because it was in the early morning, so the sun was out. I didn't see the flash.
Yeah, but
at night I would have seen it.
You'd seen the flash and it through the cracks in the doors.
What about the time that you and DJ brought the engines up here to your house? That was a nice little trip.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we was waiting on empties. So I figured, hell, might as well come on up home. So there was a derail down there. So we stopped at the derail. And then me and him walk on up here. Figured might as well come up home. Mm-hmm. And so then that Pensy was late running them. The crew, they just had time set off, and then they had a whole ass to make it to the junctions.
Well, that were. Night, that was a Saturday night, there was a Pensy crew right underneath the viaduct, remember? He had a big Elko on the front, and they were having problems with the engines. Then there was a train behind him, and there was the unit empties.
Yeah.
And because when you took some cars from Champion over to McDonald's, and you were shoving them down towards J.O., and you dropped off and went out to talk to the Pensy crew. So I hurried up and jumped off with the camera, and it was right at dusk, so the photo was a little fuzzy. And went back up, got the caboose, and we started up here, and just as we came across Primrose, coming out of that curve by the signal bridge, the second crew got behind the first crew and shoved him. He was coming up behind us. Then there was a truck train behind somewhere back there that they got crossed over, and he ran up the opposite main. And right there, coming up to the signal bridge at Primrose, all three of us, just for a second. You know, cause
together, yeah.
Yeah, that would have made a stunning photo.
Mm-hmm.
Then riding all the way up here to Midway, was that about 2 miles from Primrose?
Yeah. From Primrose Crossing, it's about 2 miles.
2 miles up here. So we were really off. Then we went out on their main track to take the empties, because we pulled by with the empties, and those guys lined the switch, and we went out with the engines and the caboose and picked up the empties off the main track. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, because they was running out close to Idlefall at the time.
Mm-hmm. Where did they go? Back to Mingo? Did they go back to Scully or Conway? Or?
No, I think Mingo, they Scully and Conway, they had to go on the other side, yeah. This was Mingo Junction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was a wonderful evening. Then when we got back to Champion after putting the empties away, you had some coal to take back to Montour Junction. So we were going through bogs and starting down towards North Star, and a real bad electrical storm passed over us. And it was raining and lightning. I probably don't remember that, but man, it still stands out in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Remember I had that friend of mine with me? Al Gardner?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you remember them more than me because, you know, it's every day with me, like, you know, but you never got trips like that all the time.
Yeah, that was an interesting evening. It was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Because Harold was train dispatcher, and it was surprising that he was down there on a Saturday evening during the summer when nothing was going on. And he said they were waiting for the empties. Just, you know, you and DJ were going to, and I think he had two Pinelli guys. So we went down to Conway and bummed around. I kept calling them, and finally I think they put the crew out, like the call out around 3 or 4 in the afternoon. We got the Champion, it was still daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was summertime. Got over here, it was just about dusk. We got to stop and work the loaded yard, and I think we brought like 7 loads of coal over to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said we're going up here, I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is unbelievable. We're going up the investment through Midway, I think, holy cow, this was great.
Yeah, well, you had some good times there too.
I remember DJ used to live right over by the library there.
Yeah.
Whenever he went up and down the branch, he used to whistle off for.
Yeah, well, yeah, he lived on, what is it, 68 something Allen Street.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he still lives there. Yeah, and then the school was right down below a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
By the dock was up above.
Yeah. I remember riding up up and down there a couple of times with him, and him right at the lower end of the viaduct would start blasting the air horn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shoving that pull out of number 10 was always, that was always a thrill. Even though you're only going a couple mile an hour, it was just like a battle.
Well, yeah, what? Well, that's a pretty steep grade going up there. But, you know, you're pushing all that dead weight. And more diesels, they get and go, though. So, well. Yeah, well, one day we was down there, or some reason we sung up, but we just sat right out on the bite off watching traffic on 88.
Really?
Me and DJ, yeah, with the engines, yeah. And I was thinking, you know, just sitting there idling. That old bridge that probably was shaking like that, but yeah, we made it. Didn't wreck
it. If you get up close and look at the bridge, it's really not, it doesn't look like it's built for a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Stress. Because, you know, the girders and that aren't really that big.
Yeah, I know. They aren't really. But hell, you take, say, half inch of steel girder, it'll hold a lot of weight there.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, up between Library Junction and Jewel, there was that one overhead bridge. One beam was rusted off. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, from the base, they still ran over it all the time. So.
That's all filled in now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's been filled in for a long time. Bridge is gone.
Well, that's pretty good.
Speaking of detours, any crews ever detour just like Hills to McDonald or McDonald to Hills over the PRR?
Yes. The crews have did it. The last one I remember did it, I think, was Dave Rockaby was on the crew.
Where did he go under the PR at, Hills or McDonald? Where did he start out at?
I think he started out at McDonald.
Then went down to
Carnegie, then he takes the branch out of Carnegie from up to Hills.
Oh, that's right. So you just pull down into Carnegie there, then back in on their track, on their Washington secondary.
Yeah.
That was right down by Wagner someplace, I guess.
Yeah. Went down McDonald, and you went down, you know, going down east on the fencing from the junction, down through McDonald and McDonald, Sturgeon, and Oakdale and that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got down Canadian, you went over on that their branch there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where when you had that train ride with Timmy's crew, you know, Ohio Central or whatever, they ran that.
Right. They ran up that branch.
Yeah, they ran up the branch, yeah.
Remember last time you went over the PRR from Offshore Junction? That was with the Pinelli engines. That was like, I think, 1981. That was the night Russ Wright rode with you guys.
Well, I thought that was on the PWV.
No, that last one was over the PRR.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Charlie Ross up in there at Jeffy time?
Yeah, that's when they come out. Barney always looked back before he went in the tunnel. He said, good thing we did, but the train was stopped. Charlie's still going with the engines. Didn't even know he went in emergency.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I think Doug McCartney brought the next train down in, and he was 2 hours or something. And Charlie Ross told Showmaker that it took him 2 hours, and Showmaker said, well, at least he made it.
Oh, do you remember the night that you went over the last trip with the Pinelli engines? You guys sat, because you were trying to call me on the radio, but you were sitting down at Wagner Tire waiting for pilots.
Yeah.
I could just barely hear what you were saying.
Yeah, we, We've done PWV. You may, you gotta go to the right, I think. And we had sat there and waiting, and their crew, men come from the RO office, from walking down the track to the train. So.
That was a PCNY.
Yeah, PCNY.
Right.
Yeah. That's when I'm trying to call you, Rick.
I don't know. Is that where you were at? Where were you at? Scully?
Yeah.
I thought you were a Wagner.
Well, maybe it was a Wagner. I don't remember.
I don't remember, but I remember I heard you trying to call me on the radio. So you probably were a Scully then.
Well, probably were then, yeah.
Maybe I just misunderstood your work. So that's where the PCY crew got off and the PR crew got on there, Scully.
Yeah. No, it wasn't in Scully because we was up on the bridges when they changed. And he told the engineer told the guy, take all these numbers. And he said, I got 5 numbers. He said, no, don't take my number.
Numbers for what?
Engine numbers.
The engine numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
You
got
5
P&L
engines.
Yeah. And he took the numbers and back to, and then we went on around. And then we hit, I don't know if we hit Scully or not, we come up through Canadian.
Because you said he let you run the engines coming up.
Up, yeah. From
did you know him?
No. From Canadian up to the McDonald. Well, they got off at that.
How did he ask you first? Let's start with that.
I don't know. He just said, you want to run the engines or not? I said, sure, I'll run them. Because I always did like them, you know. So, at first he said, we was coming up to Carnegie, and you know, the blocks were, since we're the old type engine, yeah, he said backwards. He kept saying the blocks were not, called dispatcher, told him the fog light ain't lit. And I was holding off a bit. He said, call the dispatcher and tell him the fog light. And then when he got up on it, he said, oh no, it's still lit. Because, you know, they used to, now all the cabs are in the front, you know. But like the orange is the cab was in the back. So you got a little bit closer to it.
So you were going to actually do some PRR signal bridges then?
Yeah, oh yeah. Every bridge, you know, coming up.
You had what, 3? You didn't have, they weren't color, they were just like yellow or white or whatever.
No, they're just yellow. But they, 3 positions. Right. That way, if one light burns out, there's always 2 lit, so you know it either stop or caution or proceed.
Proceed.
Yeah. They wasn't colored lights.
So you had all greens or proceeds from the highball or whatever.
Yeah. You had all proceed blocks.
Well, how many signals did you go through? How many did they have between McDonald and Carnegie?
Oh, I don't know. Hard to say, I can't do that.
That'd be pretty night at night time.
Yeah.
Seeing those PRR position light signals with a big highball up there for you. How fast did you come up the hill?
Oh, we rolled along pretty damn good. I don't remember exactly how. Then when we hit McDonald, where we had a crossover, you know, to the side, he said, go up to the crossing. I don't care how close you get, you know, but. So he's in. I saw the barn engine that's been away from the side.
From the crossing?
From the crossing, Oriole crossing. But then he had to go off and go. He had to go in the middle and unlock the damn lock, take that dealer off. Then you had to go back and find the switch closest to you. So you train, then you had to go clear up to the other end and align the other switch. Would go through, you know, that's where theirs were. Then the blue sky did the same thing. And then they got up to Kyle's bar, which is the jailhouse now. They called it safe.